Stay safe on the roads with Rain-X Vision Beam Wiper Blades. Now at Menards. For over 40 years, Rain-X has provided drivers with products to outsmart the elements. Their Vision Beam Wiper Blades are easy to install and are designed to provide a smooth, streak-free wipe every time. Save big money on all Rain-X products now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For all on a go status,
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Everybody ready?
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy.
Tri-Eagle Energy.
Here's Charlie Polillo.
All right, into the second hour of the program. Maybe a little chance to take a deep breath. Some quiet moments of contemplation and meditation. All things Astros, Red Sox, the Altuve Betts call, and everything else. That was part of one of the great postseason games in recent or any other memory. And it is amazing the volume of such games the Astros have taken part of. Going back to the series back in 80 with the Phillies and 86 with the Mets and everything last year. And the most recent diary entry last night. We'll go back to Astros, Red Sox final couple segments of the program today. But it is Thursday. It is college football season. So we dive right in as our guy Phil Steele joins the program. Phil, how goes it this week?
Hey, great, Charlie. How about yourself?
I have no major complaints. Let me start with the only matchup of undefeated teams in the country. It lacks the cachet of a number one versus a number four or two heavyweight programs. But, geez, Clemson's path is looking pretty clear. Big favorite are the Tigers at home, third ranked, but against undefeated number 16 North Carolina State.
Yeah, and I think that North Carolina State coming in undefeated like they are, number 16 in the country, last big test, all the chaos that happened last week with four top 10 teams going down and then three others suffering near losses last week, and the fact that NC State almost beat Clemson last year, that will all have Clemson playing their A-plus game. They're fresh off a bye. Their defense is holding opponents to 188 yards per game below their season average. That's number two in the country. Offensively, Trevor Lawrence back and looking good, 11-2 ratio on the year. And with NC State, you know, they've beaten Boston College, but Boston College didn't have Dillon. They really haven't beaten anybody else this year. I think when you look at these two teams, last year I liked NC State in the matchup because both had NFL-caliber defensive lines. All four of NC State's defensive linemen are now in the NFL. All four of Clemson's defensive linemen who will be in the NFL are back. I'm going to take Clemson at home to be very focused, and I'll even lay the 17.5 in that one, Charlie.
All right. Phil, for those who, like you, under no circumstances, will have interest in baseball, the ratings won't be very good in this city tonight for it, but decent Pac-12 game. Stanford, a small favorite at Arizona State.
Yeah, and when I look at this matchup, Charlie, it's not your typical Stanford team. As you know, Stanford always plays great defense, runs the ball well. Well, this year, those two things are not happening. In fact, defensively, they're actually allowing their opponents 10 yards per game above their season average, what they come in averaging in the game. And running the football has been amazingly poor. Their offensive line has only opened holes for 86 yards per game rush, 3.1 yards per carry. Only once all year have they even topped 100 yards against an FBS opponent. Meanwhile, Arizona State, you look at their three losses this year, all came on the road against good teams, San Diego State, Washington, Colorado, and all were by just a touchdown. So they've been highly competitive in every game at home. They're outgaining their opponents by 161 yards per game. They've got Eno Benjamin, a running back, averaging 5.7 yards per carry. Manny Wilkins with an 11-1 ratio at QB. And then N'Keal Harry might be the number one wide receiver for next year's draft is there as well. I like Arizona State to pull the small upset at home tonight.
All right, Phil, UCLA off the schneid. We leave UTEP and San Jose State in their own category. Nebraska 0-6 for the first time in program history. Do the Cornhuskers beat Minnesota?
You know, and Nebraska doesn't really look like an 0-6 team when you watch them play. I mean, they outgained Colorado by 170 yards. They outgained Troy by 111 yards. Heck, they outgained Purdue. They led Northwestern by two scores in the fourth quarter. They have been much stronger than their 0-6 record would indicate. But, you know, Minnesota's a stronger team as well. Look what they did against Ohio State last week. They went to the Shoe, and I thought their defensive line outplayed Ohio State's offensive line the majority of the game. Ohio State only ran for 92 yards, 2.9 yards per carry, and gave up three sacks. So Minnesota's playing good ball. Nebraska's playing good ball. Both are playing better than their records would indicate right now. But when I look at this matchup, I think Nebraska does finally get that first win, but it'll be a close one. I've only got them winning by about a field goal.
All right, Phil, let's stick in the Big Ten. I presume Ohio State a little bit bored punching down the Minnesota game. What about giving 13.5 or so at Purdue? Any liveness to the Boilermakers?
Yeah, Purdue's got some weapons. You look at their last three games, they took on a ranked Boston College, beat them 30-13, went into Lincoln, handed Nebraska a 14-point loss, and absolutely destroyed Illinois last week. And their first three losses were all close. They're basically three plays away from being 6-0 at this point. And the one thing with Ohio State, they're giving up a ton of big plays. Well, Purdue's got a big play guy, and Rondell Moore at wide receiver. He's a true freshman and going to be worth the price of admission. I say he probably gets two touchdowns here. So I think Purdue's got a chance, but then you flip to the other side of the coin. Ohio State's offense averaging 557 yards per game, 183 yards above what their opponents come in allowing, which is the nation's best. If you add that to Purdue's total that they're allowing, that's over 600 yards. And Purdue gave up 608 yards to Missouri, 582 yards to Nebraska. I think Ohio State puts up over 600 yards here, and that's going to be enough for them to win this one by more than two touchdowns and cover that spread.
All right, Phil, the game of the week in the Big Ten, Michigan State, which just on its own merits as a rivalry is a big deal. Sparty going in and winning at Penn State. Now back in the rankings at number 24, Harbaugh has struggled against Michigan State. The Wolverines, I think pretty quietly, have crept up to number 6. They are D-ing it up. Shea Patterson doing his thing. They're a playoff threat, but they don't have to cover the 7, but they have to beat Michigan State. How do you see it?
Yeah, and it's amazing. Ever since Mike Hart made that comment about the little brother, Michigan State is 10-0 against the spread in this series. Remarkable. They just cover every single time. In fact, the last time here in 2016, Michigan State was having a pretty poor season. I believe they were like 17, 18-point underdog in the game. And while they lost the game, they kept it under the spread. In fact, Michigan led 30-10 in the fourth quarter in that game. And then Michigan State scored a couple of late scores and only lost by 9. But the fact that Michigan was able to come in here and lead the game 30-10 2 years ago, and this year's Michigan is far superior to that year's Michigan. They've got the best defense in the country, holding opponents to 211 yards per game below their season average. Offensively, Higdon's really running the football well. In fact, last week they ran for 320 yards, 6.7 yards per carry against Wisconsin. Shea Patterson getting more and more acclimated to the offense each week. 10-3 ratio, dangerous runner, and they've got some dangerous receivers as well. It's a very good Michigan team. Now, D'Antonio does more with less, better than anybody in the country. He'll pull off his upsets. He'll have them highly motivated here. It's just not going to be enough. They're coming off a big upset win. Last year, after they upset Penn State, the Ohio State beat them 48-3 the next week. I'm going to go with Michigan, and I'm going to lay the 7 even on the road and go against that 10-game win streak that Michigan State has against the spread.
All right, Phil, on to Alabama. No one expects drama in the traditional rivalry game, Alabama and Tennessee. I think the Tide is 30 points better than the Volunteers. It's a question of how does the game play out. What do you think?
You know, one of the big question marks is Tua. How long is he going to play? You know, they've got LSU coming up in 2 weeks. So that is a big-time question. I do think the fact that Tennessee just beat Georgia will have Alabama on guard for this. And remember the last time Alabama traveled here, Tennessee was actually a ranked team coming in high, but they were all banged up. Tennessee showed them no mercy. 49-10, they thrashed them. I've got Alabama winning the game, Charlie, believe it or not. And I'd put it right around where Vegas has the number. With Tua's questionability here due to the injury, I would completely lay off this one.
Phil, if we were to call off the rest of the college football season right now, one, that would be horrible. But two, would Tagovailoa get your Heisman vote? The numbers are incredible. The efficiency numbers, of course, he has everything around him. How do you see the Heisman race at this point in the season?
Yeah, no doubt Tua would win the Heisman right now if the season was over. Of course, there's still an entire half of the season left to be played, and we've seen a lot of things change. There's a couple other players, though, you know, worthy of mention. I think if you look at Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins, he's putting up some big-time numbers. Got 28 touchdown passes, just 4 interceptions on the year. And if Ohio State can run the table, I think then he becomes a big-time player. Still can't discount Oklahoma's Kyler Murray. He's a guy that, you know, has got the numbers. Some scintillating plays like that run down the left sideline against Texas. 21 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 377 yards rushing, another 5 touchdowns. But Tua is a clear front runner right now. We'll just see how the season plays out. Being a Heisman voter, I keep my mind completely clear and open until the end of the season.
Get one in more before our little version of halftime, Phil. Mike Leach has Washington State 5-1, peeking into the top 25 at number 25. The Cougars home against 12th-ranked Oregon.
You know, my eyes tell me that Oregon's a better football team. They've got Justin Herbert at quarterback. I think he'll be the first quarterback taken in the draft. 17-5 ratio this year. The Ducks completely outplayed Stanford in their one loss that they had. And a little fortunate getting past Washington. They need a missed field goal at the end of regulation. But they still beat a very good Washington team in overtime. So I think they're the more talented team. But Washington State's in a tremendous situation. Here they are at home off a bye, catching the Ducks off a huge home game against Washington, now having to travel. So the situation is really in Washington State's favor. This is one of those, Charlie, where I think Oregon's a more talented team. I wouldn't go against them, but I wouldn't go against Washington State in this situation. Should be a great one to watch.
All right, we get our break in coming back. I mean, both Texas and Texas A&M are idle this week, so a little bit of a downer for the schedule there. But we have Oklahoma, TCU, Texas Tech, Rice, U of H to get to, and our remaining top 25 matchup. What does LSU have as a follow-up to the Georgia game? Tigers and Mississippi State. Coming back with more with Phil Steele, our Thursday college football preview.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Here's Charlie Polillo.
It is lunch hour at Carbach. My nose is not failing me. My mouth will get after that about a half hour from now. Good Eats and TV screens and drinks galore. If looking for an afternoon stop, or maybe for the ball game tonight, if not fortunate enough to be going. Back to some Astros Red Sox in the remaining segments after our weekly college football preview with Phil Steele. The website I shall cover, STEELE, philsteele.com. You can highlight and take it beyond, Phil.
Hey, thank you very much, Charlie. Check out my selections, my top five plays on ESPN.com/Phil Steele. That's ESPN.com/Phil Steele. Also got my Vegas power ratings. They're up there right now as well. And if you're looking for all the games covered this weekend, there are 54 games this week. You get all 54 selections from my computer and from myself in InsideThePressBox.com. And we got a special deal for you this week. When you go to InsideThePressBox.com, if you type in the code word touchdown, that's touchdown, you get my college and NFL newsletter, normally $29.99. Just $9.99 this week. By the way, Inside the Press Box on fire. 21 wins, 6 losses, 1 tie over the last 4 weeks of college football. Going for another big week this week. 21-6-1. Inside the Press Box. Code word touchdown. $9.99 right now. Normally $29.99. Get both my college and NFL newsletters for this week. InsideThePressBox.com.
All right, Phil, back into it. I teased LSU Mississippi State as our remaining top 25 matchup. The Tigers up to number 5, Mississippi State at number 22. On one hand, this is a sandwich game of all time for the Tigers off thrashing number 2, Georgia. Up next, number 1, Alabama. but a very well-placed open week before the game with the Crimson Tide. So how do you set it up for Baton Rouge Saturday, Phil?
Yeah, I think the bye week takes away the sandwich effect. I think you'll see a fully focused LSU for this one. But how many weeks in a row can you play your A game? I mean, they just played a big game for Ed Orgeron against Ole Miss in their last home game, then traveled to Florida. Did come up short in that one, and then hosting Georgia, and now another big game this week. Meanwhile, Mississippi State is fresh off a bye. They beat Auburn, gained some confidence, and they're off a bye. I think both teams have excellent defenses. As you know, the defensive front sevens on both outstanding. Mississippi State allowing just 118 yards per game, below the season average of their opponents. That's number 8 in the country. LSU's close to that, 94 yards per game below the season average. I think LSU's got a little more balanced attack as Joe Burrow can throw the ball, but Mississippi State's got the better run game. It's at night in Death Valley. That advantage goes to LSU. I think they're the better team. But I like the underdog probably a little bit here. They're getting about a touchdown with Mississippi State. I think they can hang with LSU. Should be an excellent game.
Hypothetically, Phil, let's say LSU takes care of business, wins 24-10 or something like that. Where would you conjecture the point spread comes for Alabama at LSU in a couple of weeks?
I'm going to say between 10 and 14. I think when you look at Alabama, they're probably a 9-point favorite over anybody else in the country. Probably have an edge on LSU by even more than that, but it would be in Death Valley and a big game. So I'm thinking probably closer to 10 for this one.
All right, to the Big 12. TCU, I think, is going to have to suck it up, and with all its visions of glory shattered, be curious to see what Gary Patterson gets out of his guys the rest of the way, starting with a home game, getting 8 points against Oklahoma.
Yeah, and the good news is Gary Patterson's the head coach, because I think he always gets his team motivated, and a tough loss to Texas Tech. The other two losses, I thought they played extremely well against both Ohio State and Texas, just came up short on the scoreboard. Now they're at home for this one. Sean Robinson has had a week off, Sean Robinson, I should say, has had a little extra time off, should be better than he was against Texas Tech, and they're at home. But Oklahoma, boy, that offense is percolating, isn't it, with Kyler Murray? And they're coming in off a loss, off a bye. So I think Oklahoma's going to go in and get the win, but TCU will make a game of it.
Texas Tech, does it lay it on Kansas, or a little bit of not taking the Jayhawks as seriously as they should? I've seen from 18.5 to 20 on that game.
Yeah, I'd get to like 3 touchdowns in this one. It's about 18 right now. And I think with Tech, they're coming off a big win against TCU, which is normally not a good spot to be a big-time favorite like they are here against Kansas. But it's Kansas, for crying out loud. And the two games Kansas won this year, they were plus 6 in turnovers in both those games. Other than that, they've really struggled. Now, they did go into West Virginia, only lose by 16. And Alan Bowman for Texas Tech is doubtful for the game, which means it could very well and will probably be Jet Duffy, more of a running quarterback than a passing quarterback. So it's one of those games where I'd take Tech probably by 21.
Auburn or Ole Miss?
I definitely like Auburn in this one. Auburn comes in a slight favorite. You know, had this game been played 3 weeks ago, Charlie, I would say Auburn would be about a 17-point favorite. Ole Miss was coming in off a thumping by LSU. Auburn was ranked in the top 10 of the country. I think Auburn probably would have been about a 17-point favorite, but they lost to Mississippi State, didn't look good doing it, and then lose to Tennessee at home. But they did have 448 yards. Now, Auburn's not the same when they cannot run the football. That's been their problem. And all their losses, just go back and look, generally under 100 yards rushing. But they should be able to run the ball in Ole Miss. It's Ole Miss's defense. They're giving up 263 yards per game rush, 5.5 yards per carry to SEC teams. Ole Miss very fortunate to escape Arkansas with a win last week. They were down 2 to 3 scores almost the entire game and managed to come back and pull out a win. I think when you add this one up, a desperate Auburn team that needs to get its season turned around, runs the football, gets its season turned around. I like Auburn to win that one by a touchdown or more.
Phil, USC pretty solidly takes Colorado from the ranks of the unbeaten. An underdog, about 7 points worth, altitude at Utah. The Trojans, of course, the brand name program. How do you see that game?
You know, I think when you take a look at this matchup, the two teams are very even. I rate their offenses about even, defenses about even, and even special teams pretty much even. So Utah being at home, you'd have to think you favor the Utes by 3. I understand why the spread is 7. Heck, my computer is saying 7, but that's because Utah's off two big wins. They just beat Stanford by 19. They crushed Arizona by 32. But keep in mind, Bryce Love didn't play for Stanford, and Khalil Tate for Arizona was out after the first quarter. So they didn't take on either team's best squad. Meanwhile, USC had two road losses early in the year to Stanford and Texas by a combined 54-17. But they were only out first down by two first downs in those games. And it was the first two road starts for JT Daniels. Well, JT Daniels is a veteran now. This will be his fourth road start. He's already faced Texas and Stanford's D's on the road. I think he'll have a much better game here. Add it all up, I'm taking the big points. Plus, in the last eight in this series, Charlie, USC's won 5. The three games Utah did win have been by 4, 3, and 3 points. I'm taking the full touchdown with USC.
All right, Phil, let's have a little fun with this. Texas is off this week. Texas A&M is off this week. Oh, I don't know. Maybe they could have played this week. Aggies and Longhorns, a neutral field. We played in Houston or played in Dallas, split the tickets in half. Where would you set the point spread?
If I'm setting the point spread in Vegas, I'm going to put the game at Texas minus 3 at a neutral field, based on the fact that they have the better record and have really been playing good down as of late. But the two teams are extremely close. But I think right now Texas would be a 3-point favorite.
All right, Owls and Cougars to cover before we wrap it up. Wobegon Rice, you can have 23.5 points with them if I can interest you at Florida International.
Yeah, and Florida International, you know, last week they took advantage of a team that was coming off two big wins in Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State team that lost its quarterback in the second quarter and still only won by 3. They did beat Arkansas Pine Bluff pretty handily the week prior and just been disappointed with Rice now on a weekly basis. So as much as I'd like to take the points there, I'd have to go with Florida International until Rice actually shows me something. And I also don't think Stankiewicz, the quarterback, going to play here. So I'm going to take FIU minus the points.
All right, Phil, U of H should get to 3-0 in league play. At Navy, definitely a disappointing season to date. I guess I should note, or do note, the Middies are 2-1 at home. They've not won yet on the road. Cougars giving 11.5 to 12.5.
Yeah, Niumatalolo rarely loses at home. I think they have 3 losses at home the last 4 years. Did just lose to Temple by 7. Spread was 7 in that game. So 5-1-1 as a home dog. Houston just 2-5 as an away favorite. Houston, now last year, if you remember this game, Houston had a bye, which helped them prep for the option. Then they played Tulane, which runs some option. And then they played Navy. So they were well prepped for the option. And they held Navy to a season low in yards. Well, this year, Houston's defense given up 100 yards per game over the season average. And as opposed to the great situational edge they had last year, having basically faced the option 3 full weeks of practice coming into the game and being at home, they just took on East Carolina last week. East Carolina threw the ball 63 times. So we're talking about a complete shift. And not only traveling all the way over to East Carolina, travel back home, now travel back out to Navy. That's 2 long trips back-to-back. Navy deadly at home. Switched their quarterback last week. They went to Garrett Lewis over Malcolm Perry. Perry's now at slot back. I think Navy takes them right to the wire. I do see Houston winning the game, but only by a field goal.
All right, there you have it. Week number, well, whatever week of the season this is, 8 or so. Thursday college football previews with many more to come. Phil, reset where people can find your work beyond this program.
Once again, you're a heck of a guy, Charlie. Head over to ESPN.com/Phil Steele. When you go there, get my top 5 plays. They're on a nice 9-2 run the last 2 weeks, or 9-1 run the last 2 weeks. That's on ESPN.com/Phil Steele. Get my Vegas power ratings as well. And if you want all 54 games covered for you, get my computer's forecast, then get my forecast on all 54 games. Go to InsideThePressBox.com. If you type in the code word touchdown, you will get my college and NFL newsletter this week, normally $29.99 for just $9.99. And the college selections, 21 wins, 6 losses, 1 tie over the last 4 weeks, another 5-2 week last week. That's InsideThePressBox.com. And type in the code word touchdown. You'll see the $29.99 pop up. When you type in touchdown, it changes to $9.99. InsideThePressBox.com.
Phil, thanks as always. We will talk next Thursday.
Sounds great, Charlie. You have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you much. Break to take, bottom of the hour, and then back to Astros, Red Sox to the finish. Also can open up the phone board, HRNP listener line. Always show graciousness toward the sponsor. The call-in number, the HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776, 780-3776. Both cranky and saner among you. Emails and tweets, I'm doing what I can within the show, as we broadcast today from Carbach. After the show, right, there's no National League game this afternoon. I'll probably do further catching up there. If you take the time to type it, I'll take the time to read it. And responding as if, when warranted, CP at GowMedia.com. My initials, CP at GOWMedia.com. You can tweet my way at Palillo, P-A-L-L-I-L-O. Before getting back to Altuve Betts and everything else that happened in that game last night.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.